KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Friday, June 30th from 5 to 11 p.m. and Saturday, July 1st from 3 to midnight at Disjecta in Portland. The Improvisation Summit is an annual music and movement festival presented by the Creative Music Guild. This year, the summit features artists like Andrea Klein, Sage Fisher with Institute for Creative Dying and Andy Rayborn, Andrew Durkin's Breath of Fire, and many more performers and artists. Again, that's the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Friday, June 30th from 5 to 11 p.m. and Saturday, July 1st from 3 to midnight at Disjecta Contemporary Art Center, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 27, 2017, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio at 90.7 FM on the KBOO dot everywhere. And our theme for today is the world next door. We have already, according to Marcia Gessen, and absolutely in line with my own observation, from what I can tell, we've already had our own Reichstag too. And of course, that was 9/11. We live under the Patriot Act, which is the closest thing you can get to martial law. And we are governed by an administration that came to power via a coup d'etat. We need to talk about these things. We need to say these words out loud, because apparently we're not doing a good job of convincing ourselves. On the topic of martial law, and just to lean into it a little more, martial law is clearly a product of a white judicial system. Could not happen under indigenous law. I wanted to reference Ada Pecos Melton. That's Ada Pecos Melton. And you want to take a look at her chart comparing white law and First Nations, Indigenous justice. It's helpful to see those words in print in front of your eyes in order to understand how the legal situation that we are talking about today with Lana Jack, how this could possibly happen. We have First Nations, we have a tribal situation that should never have found its way to a white court of law, in which it clearly has no standing and has no reality. Based on the reality of the situation is Leon Jack fishing in a place that his family has fished at for thousands of years and being arrested for it. Tribal law says he fishes there and always has. And white law says that he can't for reasons that even to white people are obscure. Lana, yesterday there was a jury selection. Leon is profoundly, as I understand from you, is profoundly uninterested in white law insofar as it is being dropped on his head like a 1,000-pound bomb. But nonetheless, there it is. It exists. What happened yesterday in court?
Well, to bring you up to date, we go to trial July 5th here in the Dallas, Oregon at Wasco County Court at 8:30 a.m. And yesterday was a time for a jury select. I haven't got the full scoop as to how that went where my brother's concerned. You hit on a topic, though, that I've been highly, trying to speak to, and that's the indigenous law. And indigenous law, in reference to Tulalip YM, it goes all the way back to Chief Stockley, who was a signatory to the treaties in 1855.
Hmm.
And so even into 1933, when we look at the indigenous law as it was practiced by our chief, Tommy Thompson, weighing in and making decisions on the fishery here at Tulalip was the grandest form of indigenous law. And the exercising of inherent sovereignty over such matters. And he did that exquisitely as a leader.
Yeah, just for a minute, can you tell people, if the listeners are not familiar with who Tommy Thompson is and what an extraordinary individual, what an incredibly powerful force Tommy Thompson it was, is, and he is a living memory. Just a quick heads up for people not familiar with him.
Chief Tommy Thompson ruled the fisheries here at Tulalip under indigenous law. And for that, we were exterminated. And in that, our chief here of the Wayampum, which is the echo of the water off the rock at the falls people, is that, our resistance to, I guess, conform is really what the YM represented and is really the reason we were exterminating as having any say. Because at the highlight of it is because he was such a great leader and he was exemplary in exercising indigenous law. He didn't kick people away from the falls. He didn't, you know, there was only one, I think it was Sampson, who was turned away from ever fishing at Salila Falls again. But indigenous law was always through cooperation and through counsel, right? And I feel like today a lot of what we see in our tribal governments is council is really now more a template, take the template of what we see in the government overall. So the trickle-down effect of how they think democracy is invaded indigenous law in so many ways. And I'll probably heap some for that, saying that. No disrespect to my elders. But even as I speak, I'm trying to call the Columbia River Indian Chiefs here to ask them to come and represent us, and they won't, because they, in fact, work for Columbia River Intertribe Fish Commission and Enforcement, and these are the entities that, at this point, are really pressing in on us and to the point where they're creating new laws. My sister has a fishing charge, and it's under an interstate compact. So my brother had one in 2009, and she got hers a couple years back under a new compact. So her charge reads unauthorized treaty fishing. In my mind, all I can think is the yin to the yang, or however you want to see that, is, well, unauthorized, then just authorize this, because, you know, from 1855, from the signing of Chief Stocklaw, he said there was a Indian agent on the scene who said our chiefs had to go back. It's the main season. They have to go back to their usual accustomed places to take their food fish. Our chiefs here were always against the commercialization of fishing. And for that, again, our stand in resistance to that exterminated us as having any say and disenfranchised us, even in the land that we held, you know, where other people who took a number and went, who were forcefully removed and relegated off to the reservation and had to get permits to come back to fish on the Columbia River, our people never left. And the Columbia River Indians today really represent that resistance.
That's what tribal law, indigenous law, would be capable of addressing and resolving in such an elegant fashion. So no one loses face, no one loses fish, no one is disserved by the reaching of a compromise. It seems to me, from reading, I was just reading this morning, and so moving forward, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, once again, as well as in Columbia River Intertribal Fishing, has made a mess of this, and they seem to be trying to escape from the mess that they've made by invoking white law. It doesn't seem to be working, because Leon isn't, from what I can see, but I understand the case so far, he seems to be ignoring what's going on and waiting for it to be over so he could go back to fishing. That's just what
I have applied for a fish permit through the Bureau of Indian Affairs and have received a 6-letter denial letter from Stan Speaks of the Regional Office of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And like you said, he's ignoring the codes that codified us, the 25 CFR 247 and 248, 249 codes. Those codes were put in the books and are as old as the BIA. We're older than the BIA. Yeah. Our indigenous laws are older than the BIA by natural law. This land is not separate of us as a people. Neither is the salmon and our roots, our berries, or any of it. And all of those are a part of our religion. So to deny us, they're also denying us our freedom of religion.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So this is a case. Well, okay, I believe this is not the first time that Salila YM have confronted Stanley Speaks at the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Columbia River Intertribal, and it seems to be a situation that won't go away until the Salila YM are duly recognized.
Well, I maintain Aboriginal title for myself, my siblings, and our children and our grandchildren and so forth. And there's three of us dealing with fishing charges and whatnot out of the four of us siblings. So there's no way they can't say they're targeting us.
Yeah.
Terminate us.
Just a moment before we have to let you go. Could you just let us know the date of this trial? Because the more people that come out and support First Nations,
respect our existence, or expect resistance. That's what I say.
Yes.
July 5th, 8:30 a.m. Wasco County Courthouse. Please come out and just stand with us in solidarity and support us. Water is life.
Lena Jack, thank you so much. Lena Jack, I would think indisputably is the leader of the Salila YM. And someone who supports every living thing, especially the river and the river people. Thanks again for that, Lena. I just want to mention briefly, there's a lot happening with Jordan Cove right now. If you go to Citizens Against LNG, you can find out there are three hearings coming up.